He does do in people's lives. But we need to understand the fact that Satan actually is limited in what he can do in the life of a believer. He does not have just full sway in your life. He doesn't have just full access to your life. But there are some parameters that have been set up by the Lord that God has put in place. And because of those parameters and because of the cross, number one, most of all, first and foremost, because of what Jesus has done at the cross of Calvary, Satan has been, his working against the child of God has been greatly limited. And he's not the big, bad, all-powerful, evil one that he's been, we've been led to believe that he is, or that he wants us to think that he is. He is not an omnipotent being. He's not all-powerful. He's not almighty. God is the only one who's almighty. You know, Satan, Lucifer, was and still is an angel. He's a created being. He's an angelic being. He is a supernatural being, but he's not divine in any way. He doesn't have any of the characteristics or attributes of God. He's a God wannabe. He always has been that. But one of the things we talked about was that Satan cannot be like God no matter how much he desires to be so. And so through what the Lord Jesus Christ did at the cross and in defeating Satan at Calvary, he is severely, his power against the child of God and against the church, against the believer, has been greatly, greatly limited. And so the text that we've been talking about bringing these messages from is in 1 Peter chapter number 5. And verses 8 and 9 is our main text or foundation scripture for these messages. And it says this, "Be sober." And this is the word of the Lord to the believer tonight, that we are to be sober. This is not a suggestion. This is an imperative. It is a command. The verb is in the imperative tense, that we must be sober, be vigilant, and that word means to be alert and to be awake and to be watchful. And the reason for that is, Peter said, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, the Apostle Paul says this, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." And I love that verse of Scripture because that passage right there, that one verse tells us that there are some things that we can do to keep Satan from having the advantage or from having the upper hand in our life. For we are not ignorant of his devices. Now, we have mentioned, we have talked about, I think, six things so far that Satan cannot do. Number one was that he cannot, I'm going to come down there with you all if that's all right. Is that okay? He cannot penetrate the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. I got to watch it because I can stop and preach right there very easily. But he cannot penetrate the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus defeats Satan every time. The Bible says that in Revelation 12 and 11 that we overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. So Satan cannot in any way penetrate the blood of Jesus. That's why you and I have got to stay covered by the blood of Jesus. That's why we've got to stay under the blood of Jesus. Through our faith constantly being in Christ and His finished work at Calvary, it keeps the blood of Jesus applied to our life. Amen? And I wasn't intending on stopping here and preaching on this, but the illustration of this is brought out so clearly and so plainly in Exodus chapter 12, chapter 13, with the Passover, the blood of that lamb, which was a type of Christ. The lamb was slain, the blood of that lamb was drained into a basin, and then that blood was applied to the doorpost and the lintels of the house. And then God told through Moses, told Israel, the children of Israel, go into their house and stay inside the house. And when the death angel came through, when he passed through the land, that every place that the blood was applied and those Israelites were inside that house covered by the blood of the Lamb, they were protected from death. Isn't that right? Now, you know, and that was very plain that they stay inside the house. So we've got to stay inside. We've got to remain in Christ. We've got to stay in Jesus Christ and stay covered by the blood. So the enemy does not have that access to us. So he cannot penetrate the blood of Jesus. Number two, the second thing that Satan cannot do, we talked about, was that he cannot, and I just mentioned that a while ago, he cannot be like God. He would love to be. He tried to be. That's what got the devil in the mess that he's in with God today, is because he said, I will ascend unto heaven and I will overthrow God and I will be like the Most High and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. But God had different plans. And God told Lucifer, he said, no, what's going to happen to you is you're going to be cast down to hell. So the plan and the plot that Satan had and connived and conspired to overthrow God was quickly banished by God, although the devil did manage to seduce a third of the angels and lead a third of the angels in his rebellion against God. But God quickly foiled that plot and that plan, and that's how Lucifer became our adversary, the devil or Satan. But he's always wanted to be like God. And the thing about the devil is he's so deceived. He's so deceived that he still thinks, he still believes, that he can defeat God and that he can defeat Christ and that he can still be the God of the universe. But he's deceived into believing that will never happen. God has already sealed his fate. The fate of Lucifer. So he cannot be like God. God is all good, Satan is all bad. God is the blesser, Satan is the curser. Isn't that right? I mean, so he can't be like God. He can't, no matter how much he wants it, no matter how much he desires it, no matter how much he declares it, Satan cannot be like God. They're diametrically opposed. One is light, one is darkness. One is life, the other is death. One is health, the other is disease and sickness. And Satan, listen, the devil can't do anything good for you. Amen? God's the only one who can do good in your life. So he can't be like God. And number three, the third thing that Satan cannot do is he cannot resist the power of the name of Jesus. Satan cannot resist the name of Jesus. How many of y'all know that the name of Jesus is above every name, and there's no name greater than the name of Jesus Christ? And the good news of that is, church, is that you, the Lord Jesus, has given to you, given unto the church, the power of the power of attorney, the right and the privilege to use His name, to use His name in prayer, to have access to the Father, to use His name to defeat the powers of darkness, to bind Satan, to bind the works of Satan, to overcome the powers of darkness. And I'm going to tell you, that was the very first sign that was to follow the believers, and the five signs that would follow the believers that Jesus gave in Mark chapter 16. 16, he said, "These signs shall follow them that believe in my name." There it is. In my name. Here's the power of that name. In my name, they, believers, shall cast out devils. Amen? And the devil, no matter how hard he tries, demon spirits tremble at the name of Jesus. James said that devils believe and they tremble. They blanch white. They shake all over at the sound of the name of Jesus. They don't want you to know that. They don't want me to know that. But when you whisper the name of Jesus, you don't have to even shout it. Just a whisper of the name of Jesus in faith, knowing what's behind that name will drive the devil away from your life. Hallelujah. Well, Brother Ricky, I rebuked him in the name of Jesus and he didn't buke. I rebuked him and he still hung around. What am I supposed to do? Stand up there in faith and take the name of Jesus Christ and rebuke him again. Hallelujah. Rebuke him. Tell him he's got to go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he cannot resist that name. The Bible says that there's no other name. Maybe tonight, and not many here, will do a review. This will be a review message. There's no other name. The greatest name given among men, the greatest name is the name of Jesus. The most powerful name is the name of Jesus. God has given him a name above every name, Philippians 2 says. That at the name of Jesus, what? Every knee shall bow. Oh, hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Of things in heaven. Three worlds that are listed. There are things in heaven. Of things in the earth. And of things under the earth. In the heavenly realm. In the earthly realm. In the realm of demon spirits. And the powers of darkness. Every knee. At the name of Jesus. There's so much power in that name. That at the name of Jesus. Every knee shall bow. And every tongue shall confess. That Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God the Father. So don't let the devil ever tell you that he does not have to listen to and abide by and obey the command that is given in Jesus' name, because he does. Woo! We think of that term cast out, casting out devils, and we think of somebody being brought in here in chains and, just wild, like the maniac of Gadara, or someone that is convulsing, or just lunatic. And those cases, yes, can be demon possession, yes. And the name of Jesus will cast those devils out. But we think about that being what Jesus meant when he said, "In my name they'll cast out devils." But I believe, getting right down to where we live, he's talking about, in my name, you as a believer can cast the devil out of your own life, out of your own family, out of your own home, out of your own situation, when he comes around, that we stand in the name of Jesus against him. That's what Peter said. In our text, he said, "Whom resist?" He's walking about as a roaring lion, but him, whom resist steadfast in the faith. What is our faith in? Our faith, the faith he's talking about is faith in Christ, faith in the blood, faith in what Jesus did at the cross, faith in the name of Jesus Christ. It's through faith in his name. When that lame man was healed at the beautiful gate, and in Acts chapter 3, and everybody came running around to see what had happened. They knew this man. They knew him. He'd been laid at that beautiful gate every day for 40 years. And Peter and John come by and said, "Look on us. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And been lame all of his life, 40 years, he jumps up, he begins to walk and leap and praise God. Everybody comes around, sees what's happening, and they're beginning to praise Peter and John. And Peter immediately says in that passage. He says, why look you on us as though through our own power or holiness we made this man to walk? He said it wasn't us. He said it was the name. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has glorified His Son Jesus. And He said it's through His name and through faith in His name that this man stands here before you totally healed and well and whole. There's power in the name of Jesus. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. And Satan can't resist that name. Amen? You know, that at Philippi, that church at Philippi was the one Paul wrote the book of Philippians to when he said God's given Jesus a name above every name. It was at Philippi where that little fortune-telling girl followed Paul and Silas around all day and aggravated them. All these men are the servants of the Most High. God showed us the way of salvation. These men are the servants of the Most High. God showed us the way of salvation. And it went on for a while, and then finally, Paul had all of that he wanted. He just turned around, laid his hands on her, and said, in the name of Jesus, come out of her. Hallelujah. And you know what happened? The devil could not resist the power of that name of Jesus, and the demon fled. The demon came out. And do you know what's amazing about that? When the devil left that girl, she could not tell fortunes anymore. They had a big fortune telling business going. I mean, they was making big bucks, and her master's gain was all lost. Because isn't that amazing? And she was able to do that. It was a spirit of divination that was possessing her. And when the spirit left, that ought to tell you something about psychic hotlines. That ought to tell you something about these palm readers. It's not God, it's the power of Satan. When the devil's cast out, there ain't no more fortune telling. Can somebody say amen? Familiar spirits. But the point is, Satan couldn't resist the name of Jesus. And he cannot. He can't penetrate the blood. He can't be like God. He can't resist the name of Jesus. Fourthly, we talked about how that he cannot stop the power of the gospel. He'd like to. And you know what? If he could, he would have a long time ago. But Paul said in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it, the gospel, is what? The power of God. The power of God unto salvation. To everyone who believes. So the gospel, in the gospel, in the preaching of the gospel, is the very power of God itself. And there's nothing Satan can do to stop the power of the gospel when it's preached in its fullness under the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Anybody that will believe the gospel will work for them. And there's not anything the devil can do to stop that. It doesn't make any difference. It matters not how steeped a person is in sin and iniquity. It doesn't matter how bound they are by the powers of darkness. It doesn't matter. They can be bound by drugs. They can be bound by alcohol. They can be bound by homosexuality. But I'm here to tell you, when the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached to that individual and they will act on it and they will believe it and they will accept it, there's not a devil in hell that can stop the gospel of Jesus and the power of the gospel from changing that individual's life. That's why it's so important that we continually preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's all about the gospel of Jesus. It's not about some new fangly dangly program that pushes aside the preaching of the gospel, the lifting up of Christ. There must be the preaching of the cross, the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And according to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the preaching of the cross is the gospel. There is no other gospel. Woo! Hallelujah, man. But he can't stop the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Number five was that Satan cannot withstand the united assault of the church. Jesus said that in Matthew 16, 18, 19, he said, upon this rock, talking about himself, not about Peter. Simon Peter was not the first pope. Amen. Jesus was not giving Simon Peter the keys of the kingdom as the first pope to let people into the kingdom of God. It wasn't Peter at all that Jesus was talking about when he said, upon this rock I will build my church. He was talking about himself. He used two different Greek words there. He used the word Petros when he spoke of Peter as a rock. And that word Petros means a little stone, a movable rock, a shakable rock. But then when he spoke of, upon this rock I will build my church, he used the word Petra, which means a mass of rock, an immovable rock, a mountain of rock. And Jesus was referring to himself, upon himself, upon the preaching that Jesus Christ. Peter had just made that great confession. And when Jesus said, who do men say that I am? And Peter said of Jesus, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And it was upon that belief and upon that profession, upon Jesus Christ being the Son of God, upon him, the rock, that he would build his church. And he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We're talking about what Satan cannot do. He cannot prevail against the assault of a blood-bought church that's founded upon the rock of Jesus Christ. He can't stop that church from moving forward. If he could have even done it a long time ago. He's been trying for 2,000 years. He hadn't got rid of us yet. Amen. And he can't, because he cannot withstand the assault, the united assault. And I think that's the important word there, the united assault of the church. We've got to be united as one together. Amen. Woo, hallelujah. Number six, and this is what we dealt with last Sunday morning a little bit. The sixth thing the devil cannot do is he cannot possess what you will not yield. This is one of the most important points to this whole series right here. And this fact is brought out in our scripture text where Peter said concerning the devil, concerning him being as a roaring lion, Peter said that he is seeking whom he may devour. He's looking for someone to devour. And the reason Peter used that terminology, that he's seeking whom he may devour, was the fact that he cannot devour just anyone and everyone. If he could, he would. If he could, he wouldn't have to look for somebody whom he may devour. He would just go around devouring everybody. He'd just go around just creating havoc in everybody's life, destroying everybody's life. But we need to understand something. He does want to devour you. He's seeking to devour every believer that he can, to destroy the faith of every believer that he can, to destroy the walk of God and in the life of every believer that he can, but he's looking for someone that he may devour. And the point that we brought out last Sunday morning was, what is Satan looking for? He's looking for access. He's looking for an open door. He's looking for a foothold. He's looking for an area in your life, in my life, an opening where he can gain access, where he can come in and do his work in our life. So we've got to be on the ball. And that's why Peter said be sober. That's why he said be vigilant. Why we are to be alert and awake, so that we're not doing anything to open that door, to give him access to come in and do something in our life. And he oppresses us. He comes against us. He attacks us. But we've got to resist him, church. We cannot, you know, you and I, we can't just lay down and let the devil just run roughshod over us. We've got to resist those attacks of the enemy. And don't do anything that would allow access of him to come in and do more than what he is doing already. I mean, fear, unconfessed sin, unforgiveness. Those are some things that will open the door, that will break the hedge, that will give the devil access into your life. An ignorance of the Word of God, just the fact that people don't understand. That's why Paul said in the other text, he said that lest Satan get an advantage over us, because we are not, what? Ignorant of his devices. The prophet Hosea said that my people are destroyed for what? A lack of knowledge. And a lot of times it's just a willful ignorance that people they don't care nothing about the Bible, the Word of God. They don't want to know anything about the Word. Oh, listen to me. We've got to understand our enemy. We've got to know who he is. We've got to know his tactics. And we've got to know the one that lives in us and that is fighting in us. And that is for us, that will give us victory in every conflict that we have with the powers of darkness. Once he has that foothold in the door, he wreaks havoc in our life. We talked about how that God has he's put a hedge about us. This is the good stuff here. Well, it's all the Word of God's good, but God has put a barrier, a protection, a hedge. Well, it's the blood of Jesus, the seal of the Holy Spirit. We talked last Sunday morning, talked to you about the 23rd Psalm, Him, the Lord's our shepherd, how He, as the shepherd, protects us. So we're under His care and protection. But the Bible is very clear and very plain about the fact that God has put a hedge of protection around the believer. That's why Satan had no access to Job. As long as that hedge was there and in place, Satan had no access. Is that right? He had sought it. He had looked for an opening. He had tried to get to Job. How do you know that? Because that's what he told God. When God asked him, "Have you considered my servant Job?" He said, "You bet I have." But the first thing out of Satan's mouth was, this is how well he knew Job. First thing out of his mouth was, "You've put a hedge around him. You've blessed everything that he's done." He was the richest, he was the wealthiest man in the East at that time. Amen? God had blessed him. God had given him what he had. And God had hedged him about and protected him. And Satan said, I've tried to get in there, I can't get access. But when the hedge was breached, when there was an opening, the enemy was able to get in. But even then, he was still limited by God as to what he could do in Job's life. Is that right? He couldn't just do anything that he wanted to do. God told him, said, okay. He said, you know, you can do certain things. You can take his possessions, but you can't touch him or his life. So there were still limitations to what the enemy could do to Job. But this is the point we need to understand, that we must not give the enemy accessibility by doing something that will breach the hedge. I mentioned to you last Sunday morning just briefly, I said there are times that God Himself will lift the hedge temporarily, and He will allow Satan to have certain inroads into your life at certain times for a period of testing. But that's all in the control of the hand of Almighty God. Are you hearing what I'm saying tonight? You are a child of God, and as long as you maintain your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and you're in His hand, Satan can't do just anything. You belong to God. You're His child. Hallelujah. Praise God. But I don't want to do something that will give Satan access to my life that he shouldn't have. Are you with me? That's why we need to search our hearts continuously. It doesn't mean that we're living in sin, walking in sin, but there should be a time in our prayer time every day, and I'm assuming everybody here has a prayer time every day when you talk to the Lord, fellowship with the Lord. Ask the Lord, ask the Holy Spirit to search your heart. Examine us. Make sure we're right. Make sure in the Lord's Prayer, we're taught every day in the prayer, the model prayer Jesus gave us, for us to pray, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. So we're keeping ourselves pure, we're keeping ourselves clean, and we're not allowing any aught or unforgiveness or anything like that in our hearts. That's part of our daily seeking the face of the Lord. Why? Well, number one, we don't want anything in our heart that displeases the Lord. That's first and foremost, right? We don't want to do anything that displeases God. But number two, we don't want to give our enemy any access in our life or a foothold in our life. And we know that's possible because Paul said, it was Ephesians 4:27, give no place to the devil. Give no place to the devil. And in Ecclesiastes 10 and 8, the Bible says that he that digs a pit shall fall into it, and whosoever breaks a hedge, a serpent shall bite him. So that's saying that there's the possibility of our hedge being broken and access gained for the serpent to bite. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? Well, I don't want to give him access. The devil cannot possess what you do not yield. If you make a nice, comfortable spot for the devil, he'll move in. He'll come in, he'll claim everything. He'll claim your whole house if you will let him. If you give him an inch, he'll take a mile. But rather than yielding ground to the enemy, what do we need to do? We need to obey God. We need to live by the Word of God. We need to submit to God. We must dedicate and consecrate our life to God. We've got to stay under the blood. We've got to keep our faith active in the finished work of Christ. And we've got to tell the devil, by our faith being anchored in the Lord Jesus and standing for what is right, we are telling the devil, listen to me, Mr. Devil, you're not welcome here in my life. I put up that no trespassing sign. I am God's property. I'm covered by the blood of the Lamb. You have no right in me whatsoever, so I do not yield to you any part of my life whatsoever. I refuse to lay down and let the enemy use me as a doormat just to wipe his old dirty hooves on. Can somebody say amen here in this church tonight? Woo! Hallelujah. He cannot possess what you and I refuse to you. We're posting that sign that says, keep out. You're not welcome here. And listen, Satan cannot stay. He will not stay. He cannot stay where he's not welcome to stay. Is that right? Is that Bible? Isn't that what James 4:7 says? Submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil. Does that mean that? And what does it say that the devil will do when we are submitted to God and resisting him? That he will do what? He'll just pull up a chair and pack up his bags and move in? No! It says when he's resisted, he will flee. He will run away. And that word flee means to run in terror. He will not, he cannot stay where he is not welcome. We've got a sign that we Sister Sean Hughes got it for us. And put it out on the front porch, you know, and what does it say? It says, no soliciting. It says, number one, we are too broke to buy anything. Number two, we know who we're voting for. Number three, we know Jesus already. And was there a fourth one? I don't remember. But then it says, as a matter of fact, unless you're selling thin mints, please go away. So that just pretty much, you know, puts everybody in the basket and lets them know that, you know, we don't need any Jehovah Witnesses or Mormons here trying to win us to Jesus because we already know Him. We don't need any politicians coming and passing out flyers because we've already got our mind made up who we're voting for. And that's the kind of sign we've got to put in our spiritual front yard and tell the devil, if you're here peddling anything that's not mine through the blood of Jesus Christ, I don't want it. And you get out of here. You head on down the road. You find another place. You're seeking whom you may devour, but I will not yield to you anything for you to come in and possess in my life. You get on down the road, devil. Amen. Hit the road, Jack. Don't you come back no more. No more, no more. Well, you know, see, that's the way Jesus handled Satan in the wilderness. He resisted him. He was submitted to God. And the very thing, all temptation centers around the same sin. Do you know what that is? The Bible says Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are. It doesn't mean that he was tempted to be a homosexual. It doesn't mean that he was tempted to be a pervert or a drug addict or an alcoholic. He was tempted in all points like as we are without sin. Do you know what the temptation is that Satan uses on all of us? The same temptation that was used against Jesus to get us to act independently of the Father. To get us to act independently of the will of God. And that's the very thing that Satan tried to do in the life of Jesus. To get Jesus to act independently of God. But Jesus never did that. He said, Jesus made the statement. He said, I always... Oh, hallelujah. I wish we could make that, but we can't. But Jesus said, I always do those things which please the Father. Isn't that what he said? Always. He said, the prince of this world has come, and he can find nothing in me. There was no sin. There was no sin nature. There wasn't anything Satan could find in Jesus. And when the devil came against him in the temptations in the wilderness, Jesus submitted himself to the Father, refused to act independently of the will of the Father, used the scriptures against him, and the Bible said then the devil leaveth him and angels came and ministered to him. Amen. I tell you what, we got enough demons hanging around. It's time to run the demons off, get some angels hanging around our life and around our house. Woo! Glory to God. Amen. Let's just review. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. You, as a born-again believer, reside. You reside in the kingdom of God. You are a part of the kingdom of God. Colossians 1:13 says that He has delivered us. Who has delivered us? Talking about Jesus. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. That's our position tonight as believers. That word, who hath delivered, that's past tense. He already has delivered us. When did He do that? Well, it was actually paid for at Calvary, but when you said yes to Jesus, when you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, He right then and there, past tense, He has delivered you from the power and the authority of darkness. That tells me, and He translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. That tells me now, Satan doesn't have no, he has no right in me, or to me, or to operate in my life. Why? I'm not under his authority anymore. Before a person's born again, they are children of darkness. They are under the authority of the power of Satan. But once they obey the gospel and accept Jesus Christ, that power and authority of darkness is broken over their life. It's not there anymore. Praise God, we sang about it tonight. My chains are gone. I've been set free. Hallelujah. I'm not under the powers of darkness and under their control anymore. And He translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. So I'm not in, you're not in the kingdom of darkness. You're not under the rule and the dominion of Satan anymore. You're in God's kingdom. You're in God's family. You're under the king. You're under the rule of a brand new king and a brand new Lord. Satan's not my Lord anymore. Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. He controls my life. My God. Help us tonight to see this. You have been changed. And Satan's dominion, when you think about it, I'm going to close here in a minute. When you think about Satan's dominion, his dominion contains sickness and disease and depression and sorrow and bondage and sin and death, and all of the things that are related to that are in this kingdom of darkness. But you, and we as believers, He's moved us out of that miserable neighborhood that we used to be a part of and brought us into a brand new kingdom. Hallelujah. My Lord. Hallelujah. He's changed our life. When Jesus, you came to the Lord, He bought you at Calvary and He's moved you to a much better place, Brother Bill. He's moved you to a much better place than that old kingdom of darkness and sin. He's moved you to a place called life more abundant. Hallelujah. Well, it wouldn't make any sense to put a big sign out here, Abundant Life Church, and then come in here and tell everybody you're going to have to live the same old way you used to and be under the same old bondage as you used to be. That wouldn't be no abundant life to tell people, well, there's nothing you can do about your sorrow and your depression and all of those things. You just have to learn to live with it and just have to take it with a grain of salt. That's not abundant life. Abundant life is living free from the power of sin. Abundant life is a life lived in the kingdom of God's dear Son. Abundant life is life that's full of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. That's life more abundantly. Woo! My Lord. I'm telling you what, I need to get a little exercise. Do you mind? Hallelujah. Limbered up a little bit. The devil's got no right to impose his old nasty stuff on you and dump his trash at your doorstep. What would you do? What would you do at home if the same dude kept driving up to your house every day in a pickup truck and had all his dirty, nasty trash and garbage in the back of his truck and got out and dumped it on your front doorstep and left it there? And he'd do it every day. And as long as you would just say, "Oh, don't worry about it, mister. I will take it and put it in the trash for you. Don't worry." No, I have a feeling that I know what I would do. I would probably get some help from Smith and Wesson. And say, "You better not put your dirty trash on my doorstep no more. This is not a dumping ground for your trash." And it's time we tell the devil, "I am not a dumping ground for all the trash you've got to bring my way. I belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords." Amen. I am a child of God. I have life. Life more abundantly. God's kingdom is a kingdom of freedom, a world of forgiveness, a world of healing and deliverance and righteousness and peace and joy and victory. Abundant life is living the life of victory. Every day. Doesn't mean that there won't be attacks. Doesn't mean that there won't be maybe a discouragement or a down day. But it does mean that no matter what comes your way, no matter what the enemy tries, that you can walk through that in victory. You heard the testimony, Sister Brenda this morning, our singers. Now the devil, you know, and that's what I appreciate about them. Man, Satan's been attacking them, doing so many things and trying to stop their ministry. And do you know what they did this morning? They got up there and ministered to us and sang the glory down and glorified Jesus Christ. And everybody in this church left here uplifted and filled with joy. Amen? Oh, yeah, see, it wasn't all sad stories about, well, we don't know what we're going to do. No, we go through some stuff. But thank God we're not in that old kingdom of darkness anymore. And we don't have to let the devil put, we don't have to let him put his trash on our doorstep. Put up that no trespassing sign and tell him to go, for he can't possess what you are not willing to yield to him. Amen. Remember Flip Wilson? Huh? His character Geraldine, wasn't it Geraldine? "The devil made me do it." And that became a catchphrase. Everybody's saying it. And then it got in the church. And then it became an excuse for sin. Oh, I could have, should have quit while I was ahead. "Oh, Brother Ricky, the devil made me do that." Yeah, you know. But he can't possess what we won't yield. Amen? God's given us a free will. We need to yield that free will to the Holy Ghost. And if we'll do that, the devil cannot make you do what you don't want to do. Spirit wars against the flesh, Galatians 5 said. And the flesh wars against the spirit. And these two are contrary to one and opposed one to the other. Well, see there, Pastor Rick, see there? There we are. We've got that warfare. And I just can't do what I need to do. The spirit's willing, but the flesh is, "Oh, so weak. I'm just so weak. What do we do?" But see, Paul didn't stop there. He said, "Walk in the Spirit." And what will happen? "And you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." Is that what he said? So is there, biblically then, is there a place
in God and in the Spirit, that we can live to where we're not, that where the devil can't make us yield to the flesh, where we're not Geraldine, where we don't have that spirit, the devil made me do it. Is there a place? Does the Bible tell us there's a place? Does the 6th chapter of Romans tell us that he that is in Christ has been freed from sin? Does the Scripture not tell us in Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but you're under grace. Reckon yourself therefore indeed to be dead unto sin and alive unto righteousness. Somebody ought to shout amen here tonight. I'm telling you, don't let him dump his junk in your front yard. He cannot take what you don't yield to Him. Amen. I'm trying to find a shutting off spot. Got the faucet turned on and the valve stuck. Amen. Sometimes, you know, in preaching, it's hard to get the valve turned on. It's stuck. You ever have a valve that's stuck and you have to get a wrench out and something to get it open? Then you get it open and it's all rusted and you couldn't get it shut. Well, I've got mine open. I'm having a hard time closing it. Praise God. We don't have to yield. We don't have to give in. There's victory in Jesus. The point I was going to make in closing is this. If you or I try to win this fight against the enemy with our own natural strength and power and ability, our own flesh, do you know what's going to happen every time? You know what's going to happen? You're going to fail. And then you know what you're going to do? You're going to turn into Geraldine. The devil made me do it. The devil made me do it. No, 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 no. The devil gained access and control over you because you tried to fight him on his ground and not with your faith anchored in Jesus Christ and trusting the Christ in you and the power of the Holy Spirit in you. I'm going to tell you, in yourself, without the help of the Holy Spirit, you are nowhere near a match for the power of the devil or the power of sin. It will defeat you every time because you can't, that's a whole other sermon, but you can't overcome it by yourself. But thank God, thank God, thank God that provision's been made through Jesus Christ that we're not facing sin and temptation and the powers of darkness and the demon spirits of this world by ourselves. We've got His armor. We've got the Holy Spirit. We've got the blood of Jesus. We've got the name of Jesus. We've got every weaponry that we need to be victorious. The devil can't make you do it if you'll continually trust in Jesus Christ. Do you believe it? Musicians, singers, come on back. Praise God. This was review night. But that's where we're at. 6 things we've covered that Satan cannot do. Sunday morning, Lord willing, we will try to give you the last 3. No, it'd be 4, wouldn't it? Was that 6? Okay, was that 6? We got 4 more then. Already know. I think I got them all. I think I know where we're going. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is this good news or what? Is it good news?